Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending. Well, it's the Royals' win last night. One of the better wins of the entire season. We're going to talk a lot more about Bobby Wood Jr. here in just a little bit. He was simply sensational in the final inning or two of that game, but it was really capped off with the grand slam.
And here's Bobby Wood Jr. First pitch. Fastball lifted. Deep to left field. Benintendi back. On the track. It's out of here. Bobby Wood Jr. delivers a goal.
They would also gain a little ground on the Minnesota Twins, as the Twins lost last night. So the Royals just a game back of Minnesota in the divisional race. If you're wondering where things stand overall, the Royals 6.5 back in the division currently, but also occupying that third and final wild card spot. The Red Sox did win yesterday, so just keeping pace, just staying in front of them. Game lead on the Red Sox. 2.5 game lead on the Mariners. That's the other team to keep an eye on, all battling for the third spot. But the good news is suddenly they're only a game out, man, from the second wild card spot.
Yeah, as much as time as we've spent them trying to just battle and hold on to that third wild card spot, they've managed to at least get within a game of the second one, which does matter. Next up on Watch Trending, Olympic medal count update. U.S. currently leads the way with 20 total medals, only 3 golds, though, so far, 8 silvers and 9 bronzes. Second closest is 17 total medals, but they got 5 golds. U.S. still with only just 3 golds as it sits right now. Current, the big action in play is the U.S. women's gymnastics team is in team events right now. Simone Biles just did something I'm assuming was remarkable on the uneven bars. Look, you know how it is with this. It's hard to know exactly how good it was. From my angle, gold looked pretty perfect, and she had a big old grin on her face, which usually is a pretty good indicator. She did a nice job.
Second rotation in the U.S. back in front. They were in third before Biles just went on the uneven bars, and now they're back in first place. But it's still early going, and I know some people are like, don't spoil it. I get it. It's on tonight.
Oh, sorry.
Primetime television.
She did something really cool in the uneven bars, it looked like. Yeah, I can't describe it to you. She looked super athletic and then spun off of it and did a bunch of twist and flip, yeah. And it looked pretty cool.
It did look perfect. It really did. Next up on what's trending, Panthers did place veteran running back Rashad Penny on the reserve retired list today. Rashad Penny, last couple of seasons, has dealt with some injuries. He's 28 years old. Only 28 years old, but for running backs, this is the reality of it. Played 5 years for the Seahawks, spent last season with the Eagles. You and I looked this up before the show. He made over $15 million, $17 million.
I forgot he was a first-round pick.
He was a first-round pick. Late first round, had a $7 million signing bonus. It's the bulk of his money. And 2 years ago, he had a 700-yard season, averaged 6 yards a carry, and had 6 touchdowns. But the last 2 years, he's played a combined 8 games and had like 20 carries.
Yeah. I mean, he was an effective player when he was actually on the field. Problem is, at running back, he just wasn't on the field very often. Next up on What's Trending, Robert Saleh, speaking to the media today, said it is unlikely Aaron Rodgers will play a single snap in the preseason as he recovers from that Achilles injury. You might remember in his time in Green Bay, he didn't really play in the preseason anyway. As these leagues go further and further from the preseason, once we get 18 games and it's down to two anyway, I don't know if these elite-level starting quarterbacks are going to play very often. We'll see. Probably not that many, if we're being honest.
That is what's trending.
And then the MLB trade deadline is obviously trending.
Yeah, no keeping
new
an eye
moves.
On it.
Last night, Jorge Soler, the former Royals, got moved back to the San Francisco Giants. It's been a busy trade deadline, I will say. Baseball, we always talk about the NBA. Baseball trade deadline's been pretty good this year. I know there hasn't been like a ton of superstars moved, but a lot of really good players have been on the block this year. Jazz Chisholm and others included, where some really good players have been moved.
There have. We're also more locked into it, right, admittedly, yeah. In Kansas City. It's been a while. Usually it's about trading away some bullpen arms or whatever. It's fun when your team's in the mix and where, you know,
they can actually trade for someone.
Yeah. And I know they haven't traded for the biggest names, and I don't think the market situates itself for that to be the case. But when you're in it and you know that these moves that even other teams make have a serious trickle-down effect to your chances, when the Guardians go out and trade for someone, it has a major impact on the rest of your team's season and all that. Yeah. So I think that's why we're more bought in. Someone said, hey, you said that the Royals, that was one of the best wins of the season last night. It was against a White Sox team that had lost 15 in a row. Yeah, I stand by it. If you watch the game, you know what I'm talking about. It's not the opponent. It is the fact that Bobby Witt Jr., which is where we're going to start anyway this hour, Bobby Witt Jr., took over a baseball game in the final inning and a half or whatever it was. That doesn't happen.
Single-handedly just started. Man, look, other guys, Massey has to walk, Frazier has to get on base and get hit by the pitch. I understand that, but like Bobby Wood Jr. was incredible.
Yeah, like were they trending towards losing the game? Would it have ended up being one of the worst losses of the season? Yeah, I'm with you there as well. But when you have a grand slam after trailing the way the Royals trailed, it's a grand slam, first pitch from Bobby Wood Jr., and then he makes two of the more sensational defensive plays the next half inning to save your closer, James MacArthur, in that spot, to make sure you don't lose to a bad White Sox team that had lost 14 in a row prior to last night. Yeah, that ends up being one of the better wins you've had this season. I stand by that comment. And Bobby Witt Jr. individually, he's capable of doing everything, man. And you, that's what's so special about watching this team play this year, is you don't know what you're going to see from Bobby Witt Jr. And you know you're going to see greatness and excellence and all that. But in football, a player can take over a game. Patrick Mahomes can take over a football game. You know, Randy Moss could take over a football game. NBA, LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant took over a basketball game in the Olympics the other day. He took over that game. That happens. And it's great to watch.
In those sports,
in baseball, commonly, it is rare. You mentioned maybe a starting pitcher that's, you know, no hitter. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine, you know, okay.
And you're really only controlling one half of the game, if that makes sense. So it's not, you know, like Bobby was technically controlling both halves.
You know, you talk about Madison Bumgarner taking over a World Series game, but a positional player, it's not often you see it. And Bobby Wood Jr. took over a baseball game. That was super special.
Using every single one of his skills. He had an infield hit. He used his power to hit a grand slam. He had two stellar, as you mentioned, defensive plays on that end. It was one of the somebody had mentioned, and I said, this might be the single most impressive individual performance I have seen from a position player in my entire lifetime watching the Royals. And I've watched him really, I watched Mike Moustakas. I was the Royals insider when Mike Moustakas had, or no, I wasn't. I was covering the Royals. I was covering the Royals when Mike Moustakas had like a 7 RBI day or whatever the hell it was, 8 RBI day. I've seen some pretty incredible individual performances. I've seen Carlos Beltran get 3 hits and rob a homer. You know, I've seen some individual performances that rival this. But what skill did he not show you in that game last night? After the game last night, Jake Eisenberg, who's a play-by-play man, you just heard on that call, obviously for the Royals, said, if you have any superlatives left for Bobby Wood Jr., please share. We've run out. And it's just like, you go back through the mentions and it's just like, no, I don't have a new way to describe the level of play I'm having. To be honest with you, this might, like, it's easy in sports radio. It's easy just in general. It's easy to get caught up in the moment. You talk about all the time, like, hey, we don't have to just forget 40 years have passed. We don't have to do, you know, like, we can remember that other things took place. We can remember that George Brett hit 3 home runs in an important game for the Royals in 1976. I'm like, I didn't see that game. I was 8 years away from being born. You were 20 years away from being born. In my lifetime, this is it. And the truth is, I looked up a Grantland article from about,
remember Grantland? That's a throwback too in its own right there.
Credit to a listener or a follower over on Twitter who sent it to me. because I was like, I had asked the question, is this one of the, like, I don't know that you can play better baseball than this. So is this one of the single greatest months in major league history, not Royals history? Has anyone ever played this well for this long, this often? I'm sure it had happened, so I was curious. He had sent me an article from Grantland that had looked up the single greatest months of any, like, of any player, and it was a Grantland article, of course, because that was like the pre-Ringer days and all this stuff. And I'll be honest with you, it is littered with Barry Bonds. I mean, just absolutely ridiculous Barry Bonds stats, month after month after month. They called the single greatest month of any major league player's history, Barry Bonds, in April of 2004, when he had a .472 average, a .696 on base or slugging percentage, .1132 OPS, and an .1828 OPS. That month is better than the current one Bobby Wood Jr. is having statistically. But it didn't also come with Gold Glove defensive play. And number two and number three on that list, when you look at slash lines, including OPS and slugging, are similar to that of Bobby Wood Jr.'s current line. Based on just this list, which is one Grantland article forever, this would be one of the top 10 months a baseball player's ever had. Like, I mean, you are witnessing something that you haven't seen before. That's what we talk about Patrick Mahomes. I've watched other baseball players do this.
41 hits this month in only 21 games. I mean, that's because of the All-Star break. Wild, you know, 16 extra base hits, one game where he went hitless the entire month. That's it. One time has he gone 0-for in the entire month. He has 6 3-hit games, and he has the 4-hit game, and then Grand Slam last night, coupled with 2 defensive gems. Sensational, and that's why I think it'll be interesting to see nationally. He's forcing people to talk about him as an MVP. I know we have locally, but nationally, ultimately, what's going to have to happen. And when someone's doing what he's doing, you are forced to have that discussion. Is it an uphill climb because Aaron Judge is also sensational?
Yep.
And is going to potentially get to close to 60 homers. He plays in New York, the national attention that they get. They're a half game back in the very competitive AL East. All that helps Aaron Judge. Right now, Bobby Wood Jr. is down under 7-1. He was 7-1 last night. He's plus +640 at FanDuel.
I pumped 600 one spot. Now, of course, if you were betting it, you would bet
and it changes.
Number.
And it changes. You know, other books had him at 10-1 last night. Preseason, of course, you got better odds and all that. Aaron Judge was minus -1400. He's now minus -1000. It's an uphill climb for Bobby to win this thing just because of the voters, right? It's humans that are voting on this. And you're going Kansas City, New York, there is unfortunately an advantage that New York players have. It's just clear as day. But if the Royals can make the division interesting late, and Bobby Wood Jr., even if he's at 70-80% of what he's doing right this second, then he's going to have... People have real conversations.
He's going to get first place votes. And if he keeps playing like this, he could still pass Aaron Judge.
I think he's going to he's finishing top two. I think that is not a question anymore. It's just, is there enough there? And does the team do enough? It's the most valuable player award. And I hope people consider this nationally because you brought up it's the defensive part as well. Aaron Judge, unbelievable player. But with that Yankees team, if Judge wasn't on that team, would the Yankees be a half game out of the AL East? Probably not, but they would still be a playoff team. If the Royals did not have Bobby Wood Jr., they would not be sniffing the wild card spot.
No, they'd probably be below the Tigers. He's been too important to them individually. Like, people are pointing out all the other stats that kept coming out last night. He has more extra base hits this month, 9, than he has swings and misses, 8, in the entire month of July. Now, there are 2 games left. In the entire month of July so far, he has only swung and missed at a pitch 8 times. This is baseball. People swing and miss 8 times in a game. Are you kidding me? 8 times in a month? It's absolutely ludicrous, the stuff that has been coming out about this, but that's also it. Like, if you look at his stats over his last 162 games, no one has been more dynamic. The fact that he is even in the MVP discussion with a player who is on pace for 60 home runs, let's be honest with you, 60 home runs is almost an automatic move to the MVP conversation, especially if you're going to hit 315 while you're doing it, which is what Aaron Judge is doing. He's not hitting 220 and going to hit 60 home runs. He's hitting 315. He leads baseball in slugging, OPS, on base percentage, home runs, I think RBI at 99. So, like, and Bobby Wood Jr. deserves to be in that conversation. I would put him as the favorite, but that's because I value defense. I think that Bobby Wood Jr. is doing just as impressive things offensively. So, and then on top of it, he's playing Gold Glove shortstop.
Yeah, I guess put him as the favorite, because if you put him as the favorite, that means you think he's going to win, right?
Like, no, I'm saying he should be the favorite.
Yeah, okay. Because I'm like,
he's not the favorite. He just isn't.
It should be a tighter race than what it is. Yeah. But Aaron Judge, like right now, if you were still predicting who's going to win the award, I'm assuming your answer would still be Aaron Judge.
I mean, I'd have to statistically, yeah.
Based off of also not only some of the stats, but just
I'm telling you how I feel about it versus what's happening. Yeah.
It should be a much closer race, and I think that Bobby Wood Jr., the competition is ultra tough because of the market difference, and it sucks, but that's reality in this award as well, and it stinks. Now, if the Royals as a team can make a stronger push, and we're sitting here in September, and for this to happen, it means Bobby Wood Jr. will continue hitting at this, you know, anywhere near something like this. The Royals, to me, have to be in the divisional race truly, and I know people will argue with me, well, 6.5, they're in the race. I beg to differ a little bit. I think they have to be in September, 3 games out of the division race, for it to really be there for Bobby Wood Jr. to win MVP as well. Because if the Yankees win the AL East, Aaron Judge is healthy, I think it's game over.
Yeah, probably. But it's just so crazy to me. We're talking about the difference of like 5 games. That's what separates the Royals and the Yankees. 5 games. Their lineup, they spent $200 million more than the Royals. So yeah, their record should probably be 5 games more. When we're factoring in MVP, we don't seem to want to factor in all the other things that go into why it might be a little bit easier for Aaron Judge, including his joke of a stadium, the resources put into the team, the resources put into like the equipment, the team. There's a million things that give you an advantage. Bobby Wood Jr. just gets to do it with, and look, there's some really good players on this team. Hunter Renfroe, I think someone put out his stats for his last 50 games, hitting like 300 with a 350 on base. He's been very good. Salvador Perez is maybe a future Hall of Famer, and Vinny Pasquantino is a really good player. They've got other good players. No one's denying that. But he's not doing it with the same resources, talent, payroll, all the advantages you get in baseball to do this. And he's still doing it at the same level as Judge. I understand. I hear you.
He just has he also gets the bigger stage every night. He just does. It stinks. I mean, the Royals are on what, Apple TV this Friday. I mean, that's one of the handful of nationally accessible games that they're on. That's why the Home Run Derby was so big for Bobby Wood Jr.'s brand. And that does matter in a big wave, not only the producing, but the brand.
At least you're still thinking home runs with Bobby, even if it's not in the regular season.
I mean, there's also just some like ignorant baseball fans that from the East Coast, and they just see a player in Kansas City, and they're like, oh, there's no way that guy's the MVP.
They went to go find mentions last night.
That's the reaction there's the East Coast bias definitely exists, but I also don't want to downplay Aaron Judge. He's ridiculous this season too. So
it's not, I don't know. This is like, I told you there's a, I can't even remember the stand-up routine now, but there's a famous stand-up routine in which they're talking about the Highlander theory, which is if I say another woman's attractive, I'm not saying you're not. Like if you're married, right? It's not one person is attractive. There's more than one attractive person in this world. There's more than one great baseball player in Major League Baseball this year. I'm not denying Aaron Judge's greatness by saying I think Bobby Wood Jr. should win the MVP. Aaron Judge in any other year would be my choice to win MVP.
We can flip it around though, right? The same thing could be said in any other year.
I'm sure they are saying
in any other year you would say Bobby Wood Jr. would easily win it. But there's a year, unfortunately, where Judge is doing what he's doing. The fact we're having these conversations are awesome again about Royals baseball, and the fact that Bobby Wood Jr. and Patrick Mahomes reside in Kansas City and they're both under contract for multiple years ahead is sensational.
Yeah, it's impressive. I mean, there's just nothing more to other than sit back and appreciate it. Again, we go back through the same process, and we went through this with Mahomes, so I think eventually we'll find the new ways to discuss it. Because, like, I got added again on Twitter about the stat from Mahomes that is like, hey, everyone's had in the fourth quarter this many chances to close it, and he's like 7-for-7. You're like, yeah, there's a million stats that only matter to Patrick Mahomes. Because of the type of player Bobby Wood Jr. is, there's going to be some stats that only mean something to him. Because of the way he can steal bases, hit triples, hit doubles, hit homers. Like, it's just, it's the all-around part of it that in a weird way makes it even more impressive. But, yeah, I'm blown away. Blown away by the performance from him last night.
Royals back at it tonight. Michael Wacha on the bump as they try to keep the White Sox down, who have lost a franchise tying 15 in a row. I'd love to see that get to 17 throughout the rest of the series. And again, keeping an eye on the trade deadline here in 10 minutes, we'll talk a little bit more about the 5 o'clock deadline, not only what the Royals should or could do before the deadline, but some of the moves with the competitors that are already happening for the wild card, for the division, and how that could play into the Royals in the month of August and September, because we are about to turn the calendar to August baseball here in Kansas City as well. A lot more road games games on the schedule in the second half, too. That's a lot
better home team.
Right? And they've played a majority of their games at home this season, and they've been very, very good at home. But
they have.
We'll see what happens in that regard as well. Thinking of venues and playing at home in a way, one thing happened yesterday, and I don't think it's actually a huge development because I don't know how realistic this option was time-wise anyway, but you may have seen in Jackson County, in the Jackson County legislature yesterday, one of the, measures that were sitting in committee for a while had to do with a proposal involving the Chiefs and funding a stadium or a renovated Arrowhead.
Yeah.
And the vote yesterday was for a 1/8 cent sales tax for 25 years. And this would have actually sent in November a ballot measure to Jackson County voters again. Chiefs only 1/8 of a cent. That got voted down. They're not, in terms of the legislature, they're not even moving forward that proposal. So on one hand, you're like, oh my gosh, that's a big sign. There's still another proposal, number one, for a smaller share of the pie there. But also, Cody, I don't think they were getting this thing on a ballot in November for the Chiefs anyway. Based on the comments from Clark Hunt and Mark Donovan just a week or so ago, they were talking 6+ months from now before maybe they're ready to determine if they're staying in Missouri or if they're going to Kansas. So I don't think this November, to me, it's a little bit of a waste of time in the Jackson County legislature to be putting forward proposals to have a Chiefs-only ballot measure in November, because I don't think the Chiefs want a Chiefs-only ballot measure right now in November.
Did they say whether or not this was Manny Ibarka? Because
he initially submitted one of them, if not both.
Here's part of the problem. He is trying to do a little bit of show of force in like good faith in this, where, remember back in like April after this one failed, he's like, well, I'll just do it this way. And you're like, can you do it that way? And there were questions about whether or not it would be allowed on the ballot that soon in November. It's not lip service. I actually think Manny Ibarka really wants to try to keep the teams in Jackson County. And clearly on the city council was one of the strongest advocates
for
giving them the money they wanted in order to renovate their stadium and stay there. I just think you got to do a different plan. Did you see how bad your last plan got its ass kicked? Like, again, you and I talked about this. If you lost by a point, Gold, we're having a very different conversation. You could probably just roll out the identical plan. Say it's Chiefs only, and maybe it gotten it passed during that time. Because the Chiefs are a more favorable team. Now, the Royals have been doing a lot of winning. So for all the people who are like, better win before you ask for the money. Well, they're winning again, so maybe we're cool now. But I don't think you can just go with the same plan. I don't think a renovation plan is ever going to be approved at Arrowhead. I think that plan fell very flat. I think it is new stadium.
What about a different renovation plan? I prefer a new stadium, but what about a different
renovation plan? But that old renovation plan, that ain't it.
Well, I think that's done.
Everyone spoke for it. It was, what if we gave you a cement walkway and then made rich people happy? It was a bad plan. It was a really miserable plan. And so that plan was never going to work. I still think it's new stadium in Kansas or new stadium in Missouri as the co-leading favorites. Maybe I think Missouri is probably still a favorite because I think it's easier to, even though I thought this was a really weird analogy, easier to keep your girlfriend than to go get a new one, I think is the way he put it. I don't know why he put it that way. I think it's easier to keep them in Missouri than it is to get a completely new.
Who are the Royals in this case?
I don't know.
Hey, the side piece? What are you trying to say?
That's what Lucas said. Were you out of town when he said that?
Maybe.
His exact comparison was, he said, it is easier to just keep the girlfriend you're with than for them to like go find a new significant other. I'm like, that's a weird comparison, but
I get what he's saying. I get what he's saying. I just know where the Royals come into play. As far as the Chiefs, yes.
He's talking about the Chiefs in this scenario,
it's easier for the Chiefs to just stay where they're at. I would agree with that. I'm just wondering, would he say the exact same thing about the Royals? Anyway.
Also, that's not how it works. You can't just teach your current girlfriend like crap and then hope that she doesn't go find somebody else to be with.
Yeah, I just thought
the latest
update in the Jackson County legislature, I just didn't think it really meant all that much because we're already at a point where I don't believe November was ever realistic. I don't think the Chiefs won it on the ballot in November because they don't know what they're doing yet.
No.
So like, so it just seems like a little bit of a waste of time at this particular junction of where things are at. I think we're going to have to wait till December, January, February to find out where the Chiefs want to go. And will cause a major trickle-down effect, not only for them, but of course for what the Royals may or may not be able to do. And it's weird. Like, if it has changed so many times over the last year, but right this second, even though I'm with you where I would prefer a new Arrowhead, it seems like there's suddenly even more and more discussion about maybe after all this, go back to the original idea, and the one thing we heard over and over and over about the Royals was what? How much they loved Atlanta and the Battery. And what actually is that? That would be going suburb. To the Legends or the suburb, but if we're playing that game, I guess it could be in Platte County, theoretically, as well. Yeah. Clay County. But on the Kansas side, that would be Wyandotte County, potentially, or Southern Johnson County, where I don't think they have enough land. It doesn't make any sense. So after all this, there's a chance. I'm leaning more and more that Chiefs end up staying in Missouri, and it's the Royals after all this. After the all downtown this. Baseball doesn't happen, but they just go with the Battery idea that they preached and praised for a long time, way before we even got to last vote in April.
Quick note, by the way, on what you mentioned earlier. Adam Schefter says Caleb Williams will not make his debut in the Hall of Fame game, so you can skip that one on Thursday.
Yeah, I kind of figured as much, but I was hoping.
You can skip that one.
I'll still watch a little. Still watch a little bit. Dang it. Okay. Thank you for the update.
You're welcome.
Up next, though, thinking of updates, let's get you caught up on the trade deadline across Major League Baseball, how it could impact the Kansas City Royals, and the random question of the day.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
We'll get to the random question of the day coming up in about 10 minutes or so. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7610. The show streaming on Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube as well.
You got a fancy banner behind you. I don't have that.
We do have the Comcast banner. Thanks to Comcast. Obviously, when we're in St. Joe, we broadcast from the Comcast business tent, powering possibilities. We'll be back up at camp
Bitness
on
tent. That's how they prefer it called.
Bitness.
No.
Thursday. We'll be back at camp.
We're not up there Wednesday because it's a Royals Day game.
Did you see the video someone sent us out of Nashville's training camp today, or the Titans in Nashville? There was two radio hosts, just like we would be doing, broadcasting from camp.
Sure.
They're having a player getting ready to sit down with them. And meanwhile, Justin Simmons is the safety. Jeffrey Simmons starts yelling at the host from the background, not the guy they're interviewing.
Yeah.
And basically is like, hey, I see what you say on Twitter, you bleep. And the host is like, he's like, we can talk. He's like, here, come on, put a headset on. And of course the player.
Anytime.
And it's just the whole back and forth for a minute. Could you imagine that scenario playing out?
Okay, let's play the hypothetical game right now.
Oh, boy.
If there was a player who would yell at our show for the way we have spoken about him, who would it be?
I think we've been pretty fair, though.
Tony?
But that's everybody. Like, it's a warranted criticism, you know? Like, I don't think anything we've said has been unfair about anybody's performance. I think Tony, the criticism on Kadarius Tony last year was more than fair.
Sky? I mean, it would have to be a wide receiver, almost.
Right, but again, I don't think it's...
Sorensen in times past, he didn't like me very much when I covered him.
Yeah, I don't think... I mean, I also, as a player, I think that'd be a terrible decision on their part. But Yeah, I don't think that exists. This team's also won back-to-back championships. A little bit different than Tennessee. Tennessee's got a brand new head coach. Simmons has been there, part of a losing organization for a while. I don't know what that host may or may not have said about Simmons. That's the other thing, right?
He said he talked a lot of trash on social media, the clip said.
Who knows? Someone sent us that video. They're like, can you guys imagine? Someone says, what about Matt Araiza for not knowing who he was working out on the field after practice?
Someone said the punter for not knowing who he is.
That's what I just said. That's what I said.
Really
yeah.
good? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, maybe. Look, I'm sorry that he's been here a month. I didn't go to any of the OTA practices.
Oh, I told you, we praised Matt Araiza yesterday. The only punter in the NFL 2 hours after
putting
practice
in extra work.
Getting in sprints when it's 100 degrees outside.
Yeah, he was getting in extra work. Kudos to him, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. To be live on the air and have a player
at camp
call you...
the funny part to
couple
me,
of names.
The funny part to me though was so his teammate was putting on a headset to the interview, and so they're like, "Oh, how's it going?" Whatever the teammate was, and if you're that teammate, aren't you probably being like, "Hey, so what's up with you and my?" And the teammate's just doing the interview like nothing happened. Meanwhile, one of his teammates is clearly upset with the same host that's interviewing him.
He's like, "What's that, man?" He's like, "Doing good."
It's crazy.
That's got to be one of the more awkward ways to start an interview ever. Like, sorry, just yelling with your boy. What's up?
Who knows what was said? Who knows what was said in that whole sequence prior on social media or something? But
yeah. Someone says, "I love how important media guys think they are." I don't. If it's worth it,
I don't know what this guy said. Then.
I'll be honest.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I can't argue that a lot of people do think that. I cannot emphasize how little I take myself seriously as a person. That's why I would be stunned if a player said, "I'd be like, oh no, ooh." Noted.
Someone says, "I'm surprised Cody doesn't have the photo shirtless hanging in your garage."
I deleted the photo.
That's a good decision.
I wasn't sure who it was. I thought maybe if I took a photo, you could see the photo. Maybe we could get a better idea of who it was. Now we know. We don't have to figure it out anymore.
Someone says Chris Jones would yell at CDOT. I thought they cleared the air on that whole thing from a couple years ago.
Chris Jones likes to fire those off. I don't think he holds a grudge. Does that make?
Yeah.
Like, I think some people hold grudges. I don't think Chris Jones is a hold a grudge guy. I think he just he pops off and then he goes on a best day. Justin Reed, similarly. Justin Reed has gone after people on social media multiple times and then he just kind of lets it go. Although I think we've been relatively kind. I don't remember saying anything. Justin Reed's been a really good player for this team, so we got no beef.
There you go. We'll get to the random question of the day coming up in just a little bit. Trade deadline, 5 o'clock today, 5 o'clock our time. When it comes to what the Royals may or may not do before that, I still think one move at least is happening. Maybe it's right up against the deadline. You can make an argument still that one more arm, even though it'd be a third arm.
Another deal just happened.
Is not the worst thing. What's the latest deal in Major League Baseball?
So the Cubs are back in they've been very busy in the trade market. So the Cubs just made another move on their end. They've traded with the New York Yankees, who have also been very active. The deal the Yankees have traded... The Cubs traded right-handed reliever Matt Leiter Jr. to the Yankees, and infielder Ben Cowles and right-hander Jack Neely are heading to the Cubs, according to
reports. So the Yankees wanted a bullpen arm.
And now the Red Sox have just made another deal acquiring right-handed reliever Lucas Sims from the Reds, according to Jeff Passan. So the deals
more
are
activity,
happening, and it's been a really active reliever market. Everybody seems like they're going after their guy. I'm just trying to figure out, if the Royals are going to make one more move, do you think it's another bullpen guy? They go for a third bullpen arm? Or do they actually go for a additional bat they can rotate into different spots of the lineup? I think it would obviously be an outfield bat at this point, although maybe with the Massey never-know-back situation, it could be a more flexible player than that. I think that's why people want to Jazz Chisholm so bad, is that technically he plays infield and outfield. You're just not going to find that player very often. You're not going to find your Ben Zobrist
often. The price that you're willing to pay. I mean, the Royals, to me, are operating kind of in the right area, which is, look, we're ahead of schedule. We're occupying a wild card spot. We've got one of the best players, if not the best player in baseball right now. Our rotation has been fantastic. We have flaws. We recognize that. But we also haven't been in the playoffs in 10 years. But there's a balance here. It's not as if it doesn't happen this year that next year they're just falling off a cliff necessarily. It doesn't mean that some guys may not have the same level performance, but it's not... Like, I keep using the Baltimore example. Like, this is the year for the Baltimore Orioles just to go for it. Like, they have a good enough roster to go win the World Series and all. Yeah. They can be even more aggressive. The Royals are in that good balance. I people were upset what they gave up for Hunter Harvey. Look at what it took to get Jazz Chisholm and some other pieces. I don't think you'd be happy with what it would take to get that done. I think the Royals are being smart to not overpay in some circumstances. If they get another arm, does it tell us also about just how they view the health? We know they already put Schreiber on IL. Then you have Hunter Harvey, who, based on reports yesterday, is progressing. They think the back thing is minor. But if for some reason that became more serious, does that lead you to have to make a move before 5 o'clock? I'm fine with another arm. The bat, I just don't know how much for the bat market that they're in, that I think they're in at least.
Yeah, not Lane Thomas necessarily. I think it's below that.
Yeah, and Lane Thomas is now in Cleveland. He's got traded there. I don't know if the bat is going to really do much. Like, I still think the bullpen arm could actually help this team solidify themselves into the playoffs more than the bat of the market. I'm not saying
it's unfortunately starting to feel like a Josh Willingham situation.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Just a guy who's not even going to start.
Right. Like, do they need a bat? Sure. But the bat that I think they might be in the market of acquiring, I don't think it's really moving the needle much. Whereas a bullpen arm, I think we've seen with the issues, has way more of a chance of a competent bullpen arm, way more of a chance of helping the team.
Kramer suggesting that they just go get Mike Trout. He can't even get on the field.
He's still rehabbing, isn't he?
I don't know. I mean, at some point, they should have traded him forever ago, obviously, but it's really hard when you have...
And Brent Rooker reportedly is not going to get moved unless something changes. He was a name. Luis Robert, there's a report from Yahoo Sports that he may not get moved now, the White Sox outfielder.
Kind of cost prohibitive on that end. But yeah, there isn't that much out there for the Royals. And here's the problem. People are like, I want a closer. I don't think there's a closer available. You can once again make your bullpen, you think, slightly better. But because of the unknowns in their own bullpen and the inconsistency in bullpen arms after trades, are we 100% sure if they just added a different bullpen arm, it's an improvement versus just counting on the guys to pitch a little better in the second? Like, I'm not totally sure. I'm not like gung ho for a bullpen arm unless I'm sure it's one of those guys who has kind of a long track record of being successful. Or I don't want another just like middle of the road bullpen arm. I feel like that's what they have. For the most part, I don't think that that's the range
so
I want to go.
Them, so
like, I don't think they're going to go out to Tarik Skubal or Blake Snell right. If he's even available. So, yeah. Like, I don't, you know, and those are starters. More,
yeah, I got you. Like, so, do you not want them to make? I mean, honestly, then based on
I'd
what you're saying,
I'd be fine if they didn't make a move. If I'm being honest, if they do, I'm not going to, you know, like, I doubt I complain about it, but I won't be upset if they don't. I've seen the price tags for guys like Kikuchi and some of the other like big bullpen arms that have gone through there. I've seen the price tag for Thomas that went for the Guardians last night. And did the Guardians get better? Yeah, they did. They needed to get better. They're not significantly better than the Royals, and they're trying to hold on to their lead. And they've got starting pitching problems, and that's an even bigger price tag. They probably thought they got off cheap, just thinking, what if we score more runs, rather than try to go convince the Giants to get rid of Blake Snell. If they don't make another move, I'll be okay.
I'm fine with how they've handled it. I still wouldn't mind another move today, specifically even if it's a bullpen arm, but I think they've handled it smartly going about their business. It doesn't mean that there's not names that you're disappointed by, but if you do the balance of what it takes to give up for where the market's at, it's a seller's market. We knew that a month and a half ago it was going to be a seller's market, and it clearly is a seller's market. Everybody needs bullpen help. That's been pretty evident. And then there's been a few names that they were linked to, and two of the names they were linked to were already traded. And then you look at some of the so-called experts when it comes to analyzing the trade values and the models that multiple teams have been overpaying because it's a seller's market. Kikuchi or whatever you mentioned from the Toronto Blue Jays, he might end up only starting like 7 games for the Astros, and then he won't even be on a playoff rotation if they get in. And they gave up a lot to go. And the Royals farm system is, you know, if you believe the rankings, is not as flush as some of these others. So that's another challenge. I think if you're in competition for the same player with the Yankees, Dodgers, or whoever, pick any other team that has a deep farm system, it's going to be awfully tough for you to pull off a trade without overpaying.
Have we considered Brett Phillips in the bullpen? Did you see that video of him
He's
last
pitching
night?
In like Texas League or
he
something?
He was in
or
the NBC World Series last night, which is the National Wichita. Baseball Congress. It's in Wichita. It's their, it's a semi-pro and collegiate baseball tournament. I think he was like in the semi-pro side of it. And he was a relief pitcher last night. He was touching 97. The announcers on it are actually really funny. He's like, he kind of looks like the Brett Phillips who played in, like, they weren't sure it was the actual Brett Phillips. He's like, he kind of looks like the guy who played in Major League Baseball. No, that's him. That's the Brett Phillips.
Yeah, so the NBC has been in Wichita. It's been in Wichita for a long time. I assume it's still there. It was in Wichita for a very long time when it was at Lawrence Dumont Stadium, and then they tore that down and built the new stadium.
It's
and that's
an
why the
stadium,
and that's where the Wichita Wind Surge play the Twins Double A affiliate, Double A, Triple A.
It feels
double
like
a
should
affiliate.
Be a Royals affiliate.
Well, they used to be the Wichita Wranglers. It did exist. That's exactly where it was.
Yeah.
Now they're settled in Northwest Arkansas. We've been down there.
I do love Northwest Arkansas. It feels like I'm not even Double A. Like, maybe it should be the A, whatever. Triple A, but Omaha's great. And the Royals have kind of firmly established. I just thought it was funny. They were like, he kind of looks like the Brett Phillips that played in the majors, but he was pitching and maybe it threw them off. I guess, one way or the other.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Q, over on the text line, 913-586-7610. You can, of course, always watch the show. YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, working to get on the other ones as well, but you can watch the show on video. Alex's lighting's way better. So, I mean, he's looking extra handsome today for you. If you want to go check it out at 610 Sports
KC. Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're wearing a polo, not even in a t-shirt.
Look, we've been
lighting's better.
When we've been up at camp, during camp, we wear the same black polo. You and I are matching every day.
We actually each have three or four of them.
And so it's nice to wear something different today. So, yeah, I said I'll put on the blue polo today.
That's a good
I was wearing
up.
The shirt you're wearing I threw on last night. That's why I'm not.
I actually wore MacArthur's 9th Infantry last night after we got back from camp.
Yeah, I still wear that thing.
I'm just letting you know, that's what I was wearing last night. Came in for the save. Worked out great. Yeah. Either way, the shirt I'm wearing today is the Vinny shirt that says, "Who gives a beep? We're winning games."
I still think it should say, "Who gives a bleep?"
That's fine, but either way, I've agreed to have that tattooed on my body if the Royals win the World Series this year.
The "Who gives a bleep" tattooed on your body?
That's what that whole...
In the Pasquatch.
Oh, does that have to be the Pasquatch?
The whole thing, yeah. It's not just the
and
line.
And it'll have the actual curse word. If I'm getting tattooed on my body, it's not going to be bleep.
To have a Pasquatch on there.
Fine.
Anyway, what's the question?
But Vinny has to be there. He has to put the 9 on there.
You want Vinny to tattoo you?
Yeah. Not all of it, just the 9.
Okay.
He can tattoo a number 9.
Okay.
I trust Vinny to handle that.
That thing's going to be crooked and squiggly lines.
Either way. The question I have for you today is, it's easy enough. This question got asked on Twitter, gets asked around the Olympics every time. But I'm going to give you a certain scenario to make it easier. So the question is typically asked, what is the Olympic sport you were the closest to going pro in? Here's my caveat. I want to know the answer to that question, but in this scenario, it is a Groundhog Day-like scenario in which you have 1 year to relive, you have 5 years, because it's probably not enough, 5 years to relive the same day 365 times in a row, and at the end of that, you have to compete in an Olympic event. Which is the one you actually think you could medal in? Archery stands out right away, doesn't it? I could surely learn how to shoot a bow in 5 years every day. 365 days?
I mean, none's the correct answer, but overall...
Air pistol?
Man. That's a good question.
Problem with archery is the Korean women have won 10 golds in a row, so you're not taking them down.
5 straight years of training and doing nothing but said sport?
Because it can't be anything with too much athleticism. Let's just eliminate those immediately. There's no amount of, like...
I don't think I'd be able to do it, but 5 years... I would love to say water polo, but I think that's ultra... That's tough.
What about trampoline? You know, could you figure that out? There's a lot of gymnastics part of that.
No way.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, surfing? Surfing, right? I mean, you still got to be an incredible athlete.
No.
Surfing?
No chance.
You got 5 years to figure it out every
day? Surfing? We live in Kansas City. Surfing? No. No, I can't even train for that around here.
My buddy Nathan says curling. That's a winter one.
That's everybody's answer in the Winter Olympics. Everybody thinks they can go to the Kansas City Curling Club for 5 years and be an Olympian. And so if only it was that easy.
I mean, that one would give you a better chance because, again, the athleticism part of it's not going to burn you. I was a pretty decent badminton player in those days, but I don't think I could get good enough at it. You watch those people or ping pong? Do you see the way they play, the speed in which they play those sports? I don't think so. What about breakdancing? Breaking?
No chance.
Could you figure out how to breakdance?
No chance.
Every day for 5 years professional training?
No.
Someone says shooting, but I'm a Marine sniper. Well, that's a little unfair. So yeah, the air pistol, it seems like you'd probably be pretty good.
That might be the most realistic one to try after 5 years of practice. Like some of the other ones, just the athleticism required on some of these, besides the conditioning aspect, is just too much.
What about cycling? I mean, the conditioning part, but again, you can get your conditioning up in 5 years, man.
No.
It's all you're training for every day, every second.
No. No. I think there's some that are viewed, doesn't mean that they're not extremely, there's some that the learning curve might be easier, but it's not even just learn. Once you learn it, you still have to then master it all the way to be an Olympian. So no.
Someone says in 5 years, Cody thinks he can catch up. I'm not saying I could do any of them. I'm just saying which one's most likely. Someone says Olympians have been Groundhog Day training since they were like 5.
That's the thing.
Maybe it's 20 years. Whatever the timeline you need in order to make this, it's not fair. In Groundhog Day, it's like 1,000 years. So like he was there forever. Obviously, that's why he could like ice sculpt with a chainsaw.
Yeah, there's just no way, man.
The problem is like, what about what? There's a 59-year-old competing in the equestrian stuff.
So that means she's been doing it probably for 40 years or 45, 50.
It's him, and he's probably been on a horse since he was like 4.
50 years of that.
Yeah, but he's the oldest Olympian to compete this year. Most of them are younger than him.
But he's got 20.
Let's say 20 years. You get 20 years. 20 years of Groundhog Day. I couldn't get a bronze in equestrian.
No. Q, what about you?
If I had to...
Someone said the speed walking one.
That's what I... The speed walking one is the one that comes in just because I think you could, you know, there's a...
I forgot
more technique,
that one's called.
You know, yeah. Seems more technique-based than actual athleticism. But if I had to choose like a sport and I get to train for it for a significant amount of time, I did wrestling when I was in like middle school and stuff. So I would probably go with wrestling, but I am no way, shape, or form do I think now that I could do anything close to
I've
wrestling.
I've upped it to 20 years. I decided five. You're right. Five is not enough.
20 years nonstop everyday training.
Like if I had continued with wrestling, you know, all the way just, through high school and stuff, then maybe I think I have the right body type for it just because I'm a bigger human being. But
I
yeah.
just think, I mean, like you said, the 20 years Q. That's actually what these people already do.
Yes, but they can't do it if it's a Groundhog Day scenario, right? You got nothing. This is all you're going to do. 300. I know, I understand that's probably all they do, but like, it feels like I should be able to make some progress here. They took a day off. Singular, right? Somewhere there.
I mean, the football American football team, didn't they lose to like Japan or something?
They did.
Which is that seems like an embarrassment.
It does.
We don't have our best athletes playing that.
Another trade, by the way, and this is a pretty good size one because it's for left-handed Trevor Rogers, who the Royals had some mention of. The Baltimore Orioles are finalizing a deal to acquire left-handed Trevor Rogers from the Marlins. Infielder Connor Norby, one of the players heading to Miami in the trade.
But there you go. I mean, the Orioles, they should be all in. This is their Corbin Burns probably not back next year for the Orioles. So this is their year. They're leading the AL East by a half game over the Yankees. They have a legit chance to win the World Series. And then next year, while they've got a bunch of young talent, they have a farm system where some guys are blocking each other almost right now. And so they have the pieces to make moves. I'm not surprised that the Orioles are getting some of the best people available in the market.
It makes there's a certain number of years into it where you got to take a real chance. I think that's why the Royals were so much more aggressive in year two of their run than year one. Year one, if you go back and look at the trade deadline, the Royals didn't just like go big. They added a couple of like players, and most of those guys didn't really factor into their 2014 World Series run. And then in 15, they swung for the damn fences because they didn't know how long their thing's going to last. And I would warn the Orioles and any team in baseball this. As much as the Orioles on paper right now look like they have an endless runway to be good, that's not really how baseball works. And you can run into some problems pretty early on. And so if you've got an opportunity to win the AL East, one of the toughest divisions in baseball, win it and give yourself a real chance at a World Series.
Yeah, the Orioles just gave up their number five prospect in their system. Now, their number one prospect in their system is also the number one prospect in baseball, Jackson Holliday. So in their system, when you're the fifth best in the Orioles system, it's a little bit different being the fifth best in the Royals system right now of where things are at. It just is.
Yeah. I think that, yes. Yeah.
It's the reality of the current situation. People can disagree about rankings, but...
They just haven't rebuilt their system to be up with the Orioles system.
Reminder, tomorrow to recap all of this and whether they make moves tonight or today or not, J.J. Piccolo, Royals General Manager, going to be on the show with us tomorrow. So looking forward to get his perspective on either moves they make today, why maybe a move didn't happen, what the market really was and all of that, and how they envision utilizing some of these pieces.
Let's just ask him the closest trade he almost made. What's the one you definitely thought was going to happen and didn't come through?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He'll tell us that, right?
Yeah. He'll always open up and let us know.
And tell him which player you were going to trade for him.
Yeah. No, specifically, what player you're willing to trade away. I'm sure that'll you'll get that answer on the radio, too.
I'll say this. In the last 30 minutes, like four relievers have been moved. Well, so if you were in the reliever market and you were the Royals, things are moving quickly. Like, they're happening one right after the other, right? But they also made their move right after two injuries occurred, and they were already in talks. That's why they made the move that they made a couple of nights ago, is that they felt like they had to get on top of it. Both of their moves seemed preemptive of when the market kind of picked up again.
Yeah, like the Orioles have made multiple trades, and they still have been able to retain two of the top 15 prospects in all baseball. So they didn't have to give up any of their two top prospects so far in these trades.
Jackson Holliday, when he came up, he looked...
Yeah, he was rough. He was rough. He's back down in AAA.
Yeah, it was not a smooth couple of weeks for Jackson Holliday. Doesn't mean he's like... Please do not like assume his career is done, but... It was just a rough couple of weeks, that's all.
Up next, 1 o'clock hour, one player that was considering signing with the Chiefs, and when it comes to quarterback pay in the league, why one thing needs to be pointed out. We'll do that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.